We'll get to all that in time, Right now, we're going to lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline because, folks, it's that time on a Friday, just past four. It's football season. It's sports talk. And we turn our attention to the million-dollar sandbar known as Miami Beach.
From Miami Beach, the sun and fun capital of the world.
If you haven't won a bet since, well, Britney wore mouse ears, it's the man who created ParamountSports.com on the web.
And here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Sterling.
How sweet it is.
Oh, yeah, he had another monster week. I would say the breakdown, Central Florida over Stanford, BYU straight up against USC, Washington big over Hawaii, Houston keeping it close against Wazoo, nearly prophetic. Lee Sterling joins us. Mr. Sterling, how are things in South Florida?
Oh, they're good. I mean, when you win, you know, no one bothers you. No, you don't get any hate mail. And great week last week. Maybe one of the best ever. We go 10-2 and hit on that UCF game against Stanford. So feel good about everything. Even the wife called me champ this week.
Whoa. There you go. That's a mic drop.
I got dinner made for me three times this week. Sunday night, Tuesday night, and last night. I mean, this is unheard of, Stephen.
Everybody loves a winner, Sterling. What could I say?
Have you ever had your wife make dinner three times a week for you?
Maybe in the early days when we had young kids and cooked more.
Right.
Now I cook as much as she does.
Yeah, but she was just heating up, you know, TV dinners then. I'm kidding.
No, we were all in. We were all in with the kids.
Okay.
But, you know, before we get to this week's slate, because of where you're located, I mean – the Miami Dolphins, they've been outscored 102-10. You know, I'm old enough to remember the perfect Dolphins and the Marino years. Are fans angry, frustrated, or have they checked out?
I think at first they were really angry. I think that, you know, they were, what Brian Flores said the Friday before the first game, that he thinks he has a good team. I mean, people were insulted. And it's they haven't used the word tank, but now they, you know, they're saying, you know, we're talking about the future. They're using keywords that better describe what they're trying to do. I'm okay with it. I mean, they get 15 picks next year, Steve. I mean, that's the Pirates' booty here, and they're talking about Tua. I think they're going after Justin Herbert. I think he's their guy, unless they don't feel good enough about either of those guys, and then they just want to pick like three linemen on the offense, a defensive lineman, a defensive back, or Jerry Jeudy, something like that, and then, you know, go the next year and try to get Trevor Lawrence. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I don't have a problem with it, but it's painful to watch these games. They got guys that they are starting that I have not only never heard of, I mean, they're atrocious. I don't think one of their offensive linemen would start for anyone. They're that bad. I mean, these are guys they just picked up off the scrap heap, and some of them they're putting them in games two, 3 days later. The defensive line has a career 3.5 sacks, getting no pressure on the quarterback. And even guys like Devontae Parker, you think, okay, well, this guy, you know, he's playing for $5 million. He want to have a great year so he can make 8 to 10 million. He can't even make a catch. They only got above the 50-yard line twice, and that was barely. They didn't even approach the 40-yard line in the game.
No, it's been amazing to watch. And, you know, like I actually said,
who would you
say
was the worst team since this?
Since, well, you know, you had the winless Browns a couple years ago. You had the Lions go 0-for in, what, 2008?
I think they doesn't even approach those two teams. They're that bad.
I agree. Those teams lost some heartbreakers. They're not even
in
games
by
halftime.
The only team even close is the expansion Bucks, 76.
Yep. Oh, man, that's brutal. Okay, let's talk about
I mean, they had a brutal
actual
cast that year. They had guys that, I mean, John McKay, he was done once he went through a couple years of that.
Oh, no, he had the greatest quote ever. What could you tell us about your team's execution? And he said, I'm in favor of it.
I'm all for it. Yeah, I remember that.
All right, let's get to actual football teams and games. Going between the hedges, Georgia hosting Notre Dame. The Irish have won a couple of games, but, you know, Louisville, New Mexico's bad. The Bulldogs are another story. A lot of people think they are a legit threat. They've been unchallenged in three games. I mean, I did the math. They've outscored their opponent 148-23. It's a biggie. It's on CBS, but wow, Uga laying 14. What's the play here?
Well, a lot of people are going to play Georgia here, and they're going to play them because, you know, they run the football, and maybe the best running team by far right now in the country. Their offensive line goes about 325 a man. Notre Dame, not real big on the defensive line. They only go about 275. So that's about a 50-pound-per-man big advantage here. So I think Notre Dame, if they're smart, they're going to load the box. And when they load the box, they're also going to have to, if they don't, you know, put an 8-man front up or 7-man front when they got guys spread up, then they're going to have to blitz early and often because they just can't allow Georgia to just keep running down the field these 6, 8, 10-yard plays. And I think Notre Dame benefits from losing that game against Clemson last year in the semifinal. When you lose a game like that, your off-season workouts are usually just at a different level, and because you realize you got to get to that next level and you got to work harder. So I think in the first big game, usually when stuff like that happens, you see a real good effort, and I actually think Notre Dame will benefit from playing Louisville. Louisville last year was unwatchable, 1-11. I couldn't even watch a quarter of their games. They were so bad. This year, they got a kid, a quarterback pass. They got a running back, a couple receivers that can play. They're well coached. I think it helps them they played that game. Georgia wins 34-27, but Notre Dame covers.
All righty. Washington bounced back from that gut punch loss in the wee hours of the morning to Cal and beat up Hawaii. They wrap up the non-conference schedule in Provo against BYU. The Cougs are facing a third-ranked Pac-12 team. Utah beat them. They beat Southern Cal. Can BYU maintain that intensity after a dramatic win? The odds makers say dogs, a 6-point road chalk. What say you?
BYU, the last couple of weeks, the games have been so exciting. Both games they win in overtime, but I think they're going to come back to earth here. Their only real weapon on offense is tight end Matt Bushman, 6'6", about 245. He is going to be a really good NFL tight end, but after that, I don't see it. You know, their quarterback is fun to watch. They call him the Mormon Manziel, so he's not Johnny, but you know, they're always looking for someone that can take them to the next level. Jacob Eason's playing pretty good football right now. So I just think the matchups here, you got the Washington wide receivers against the BYU DBs that are just not very good. And look at the game last year. The Dogs won the game 35-7. BYU didn't score until 41 seconds to go in the game here. This is BYU's circle game, but I just don't think they have the horses this year. Washington, 34-20.
All righty. Yeah, that kid, Zach Wilson, he's entertaining, to say the least.
Right. Do you remind you of Johnny Manziel at all? Johnny football?
Well, he improvises, spins around, and sometimes makes a pass that you're like, you know, great
yeah,
throw.
Yeah, but Johnny football, I mean, Johnny football was faster, stronger arm. I mean,
yeah, well, that's why one of them played in the SEC and one plays at BYU.
Right. Okay.
Talking with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, he of the hot hand after a couple of scorching hot weeks. In the Pac-12 South, USC seemed to have sent a message they beat Stanford. Then we learned maybe the Cardinal have dropped a bit. Utah, this is tonight's game in Troy. Physical defense, stud running back Zach Moss. Their rover Devin Lloyd is a stud. But the Utes going into Trojan territory, a 4-point favorite. What gives here?
You know, I think USC played well, but here's the problem. I just don't think they've beaten anyone good. Fresno State is not near where they were last year. Stanford, as we know, I mean, they're an average team at best this year. You know, the talent level and also the injuries have really set them back. Now USC's got to play maybe one of the top three defenses in the country. Last year's game, the score is 41-28, but it wasn't close. Utah dominated the game. They had a 541-205-yard advantage here. A lot of three and outs in the game. I just think that Utah, they're going to feast on an inexperienced quarterback here. So yeah, even if they try to run the football, they weren't able to last year, 2.4 yards per carry. So I just think it's too much pressure here on the young quarterback, Slovis. And I think Utah's going to lose. I think that's their MO every year, even when they're talented. But I think it's going to be down the line against the Cougs or against Washington. Utah wins and covers 31-20.
All righty. And heading down on the farm, and speaking of Stanford, they're hosting the Ducks. Ducks with a, I'm going to call it a cruise control win against Montana last week, 35-3. Justin Herbert has been razor sharp. But the Oregon running game, something to be desired. As for the Cardinal, we had their radio analyst, Todd Husak, on. And he's like, this is just not the same team they've been used to the past decade. The defense looks vulnerable. But they're just an eternal thorn in the side of Oregon. The odds makers say Ducks minus 10. What are you saying?
Stanford, I mean, outscored 90-47 back-to-back Saturdays. We just haven't seen anything like this. But without left tackle Walker Little, they just can't protect KJ Costello. So Stanford's D, I mean, they're allowing 8.1 and 7.4 yards per play in the last two games to USC and UCF. I mean, they're without an interception and only one sack the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, they allowed a true freshman quarterback last week to complete 85% of his passes. Now they face a top five quarterback in the country. There's revenge, and then there's overtime revenge. Ducks, 38-24 over Stanford.
All righty. Yeah, because everybody's been talking about this game, and they keep tagging it with, I just don't trust the Stanford game because some bad things have happened. You know, real quick, you're there. You see him, the buzz. That quarterback you mentioned, Dylan Gabriel of Central Florida, from Hawaii.
Yeah. Same high school as Tua and Timmy Chang.
Yeah, and Marcus Mariota.
The new cradle of quarterbacks. It used to be Pennsylvania, you know, with Namath. Go back to, you know, the hard days, Montana. But this kid's special. I watched him in the spring game, and I'm watching, you know, Wimbush, the transfer from Michigan. Then I'm watching Mack, the kid who replaced Mackenzie Milton. And I'm saying to myself, this kid's better than these two guys. I mean, he had every read, and then every pass was just right on the money. Just one of these kids that gets it from day one. So I made that my big play last week and had to sit with it and make sure he was going to start. And then as soon as I got that word, I mean, with Stanford having to travel cross country, I mean, bad setup for Stanford. Whoever scheduled that game for Stanford, I mean, they should maybe be demoted.
No, that kid, he's got my attention. He is fun. One NFL game, talk about high-octane young quarterbacks, Pat Mahomes of the Chiefs and Lamar Jackson of the Ravens. You know, Jackson won the Battle of Heisman winners last week against Kyler Murray. Mahomes started slowly last week, then went nuts in the second quarter. Vegas says Chiefs minus 6. What says Lee Sterling?
Wow, this is going to be a fun game. The game that I've been waiting for all week. I mean, you got the best offense in Kansas City against an emerging quarterback. And I just wasn't a believer in Lamar Jackson last year. Didn't like his passing motion. Didn't think he was going to be much of a passer, but he's proven me wrong. I heard a lot of reports that he was working hard in the offseason, but I see a big, big leap in talent execution with him in that offense. They put some great pieces around him. They put Ingram, you know, they get him from New Orleans. He's a nice fit at running back. And Marquise Brown, this kid, it can fly. He's a 4.2, 4.3 sprinter. I mean, he takes the top off the defense. And last year's game, I mean, Baltimore took him to overtime, and Kansas City was lucky to win the game in overtime 27-24. Now Kansas City, I don't see them as any better, just some different pieces. You know, they moved around the deck on the ship, and I just don't love their defense, especially their run defense, ranked 27th in run defense. So in a shootout. I'm going to call for the upset. The wrong team is favored here, Steve. I got Baltimore winning a shootout 38-35.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that game. Yeah. Your game of the week, Paramount Sports, takes us to the great Northwest, Seattle hosting the Breezeless Saints. And like I always say, you and I talk about games of interest to us, local, regionally, nationally. But your goal, rocking and rolling with smoking hot picks for your clients, and you've been taking people deep. So let the folks know how to get that game and all your service has to offer.
Well, I know there's a lot of people love to join me. I mean, last week we go 10-2. We hit on the UCF game, our biggest play of the year. The week before, 9-5, we hit on our biggest play of the week, Oregon over Nevada there. So I know people want to join me, but maybe, you know, they don't have the funds to come up with a month or a season. So I do this once or twice a year. There's seven games I love in college football. They can get seven games for $77. That's right. Just $11 a selection. If they go to the website, ParamountSports.com, when they purchase it, as soon as they pay for it, an instant download, all seven games pop up. So they don't have to call back the next morning, get the games. Also found five real strong games in the NFL. So seven for 77 for Saturday, five for 55 on Sunday. All they need to do is go to the website, ParamountSports.com, and how about this game of the week? Seattle, a 2-0 Seattle Seahawks team against a 1-1 New Orleans team that is missing their leader, Drew Brees. We're going to find out if Teddy Bridgewater can get the job done. You want to get that game for free, just call 800-400-9741. So two ways to win this weekend, the website ParamountSports.com and the 7 for 77 Saturday or 5 for 55 on Sunday, or just call the office, get that free game, or we can take the order over the phone, 800-400-9741.
Fun stuff as always, my friend. You have a great weekend, and I'll catch up next Friday.
Okay, don't blow this game. You blow this game and against Stanford, and I'm going to be disappointed with you. So maybe this is the time to run it up and vent some of those frustrations on some of those close losses.
Yeah, no question about it. I'll keep that in mind. Have a good one, Lee.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.